He weren't born in a barn.
Geek Juice Radio.
No one to hear you, baby, just me.
He lives with his mom and his whale penis.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
What you would imagine you would hear if you got raped while playing Tetris.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Hey everybody, this is Geek Juice Radio. Welcome. Why am I so excited? I'll tell you, because I, for one, am finally taking advantage of this promo code at adamandeve.com. Here's what you do. Go to adamandeve.com, use promo code JUICE, J-U-I-C-E, not Jews, we're not going there, 50% off a single item. You get free shipping within Canada's Mexico. You get a free mystery gift and 3 bonus DVDs. You're welcome. Go get out there and be somebody.
Maybe you'll even give one starring Charlie McMullen as Rock Bottom in that series he did.
It's Hitting Rock Bottom Volume 37. I mean, it really, really ties up the whole saga nicely, I think. Because I was a big fan of the original, so I didn't want to...
And I think you are full of shit. I think after 35, you were just phoning it in. You didn't even seem like you cared anymore.
I was in a slump, I'll admit it. But then, I mean, once all that fanfic came out...
Did it round out your character arc?
Yeah, I owed it to the fans to do it. But what we're actually doing is continuing our ongoing series on championing underappreciated movies, unfairly maligned films. We've all had our say. Who is left other than Kevin Daly? Give it up for Kevin Daly, ladies and gentlemen.
And Cecil next week. Cecil is next week.
Yeah, he has not gone yet, that's right.
That is
so
correct.
That was Cecil Trachtenberg. You'll hear his list next week. But also Josh Hadley, you heard. Alex Jowski, you heard. I'm Charlie McMullen. Kevin Daly, kick us off.
Okay, so just to set things up, these are not necessarily movies, with the exception of the last one we're doing, movies I actually think are great movies. These are movies I think are movies that are unfairly given a lot of crap, which usually means worst movie of all time. I can't believe I watched this when... I had to sit through Emmanuel in the Desert last week. So my frame of reference is perhaps a little different than some other people's. So I'm going to pseudo-defend some of these movies that are, I think, are flawed, but I think that are also at least watchable and present something at least interesting in the film itself. So we're going to start with a movie I think everybody but me in this chat actually hates, in The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
There's no defense, man, other than the pinball machine. There is no defense of that movie.
You beat my score yet, Charlie?
I don't hate it.
All right. I have someone that doesn't hate it. Good. So my thoughts on the movie before we get to everybody else, and I think I'm just going to call left to right on my screen when I get to people just to keep it organized. So Phantom Menace. Okay. It's a bad movie. Well, it's a mediocre movie. There, like I said, it's not awful, but my wife just says one word to me, pod racing, and I get a little... twitch in my head. So there are things I hate about this movie. It has got some racist characters. If you think Shuck and Jive from Transformers is bad, this movie has these aliens that speak like they're Charlie Chan, and the movie opens with them.
The Trade Federation?
Yeah, the Nemoidians, the Trade Federation guys. Chinese racist stereotypes.
Whoa, why Jar Jar would you say is... that, Mr. Daly? Why should you say that they're racist?
That's exactly what they sound like. That is about... I'm pretty sure Josh did the voice for the movie now.
I could hear bucked teeth in that. How is that even possible?
Yes.
Where the droid comes up, we've killed the Jedi. Oh, Valakor, Valakor.
Jar Jar is Jar Jar. Yeah, he's got a little bit of a Jamaican patois, and he's, you know, whatever. Jar Jar has been discussed to death, so I'm not sure how much I want to talk about him. And then Watto, he's a... racist caricature of a Jewish merchant. He's like something out of Merchant of Venice. So that's a weakness. Jake Lloyd is awful in this movie, though debatable whether he's worse than Hayden Christensen in the sequels, because Jake Lloyd is not given that many lines. Though there is one line that gives me the red rage when he says, "This is pod racing," while flying that stupid plane. But I blame Lucas for that line.
Are you sure?
So,
yippee! I don't know if I'm gonna blame... isn't the line?
Yeah, it's No, I'm okay with that. I can handle that before. This is pod racing. I'm going to punt. Sorry, pulling it back.
I refer you to an earlier episode in which Kevin completely loses his shit when someone says this is pod racing.
Yeah, this is something that didn't change upon repeat viewing. What did change, though, I like the political stuff a lot. I'm a bit of a Star Wars nerd, not as much as I used to be. When I was in middle school, elementary school, I belonged to all sorts of Star Wars like type of fan clubs, and I was a pretty big Star Wars nerd. That kind of went away as I got older. I still like the genre, and I really appreciated the look at the absolute corruption and ineffectiveness of the Galactic Republic. Here's the thing. I've always been of opinion that the Empire is unfairly maligned in the original trilogy, because outside of Alderaan, which is the military action of one Grand Moff, they don't really do anything that bad. They're trying to track down a terrorist organization. The Rebel Alliance is a terrorist organization. So, given that perspective, I like the fact that what does the Emperor do? Well, he uses his guile and manipulation to play a horribly corrupt, inefficient, and awful political system against itself to take control and fix a lot of the problems that were wrong with the Galactic Republic. So,
by fix, you mean context, install a totalitarian government? Makes sense.
Well, how ineffective the democracy was? Sometimes it needs to be fixed that way. Josh and I will hate or will argue on that point.
I'm going to guess you voted for Bush both times, didn't you?
I did not, actually. I voted for Kerry in 2004 and McCain in 2008, and I voted Libertarian in 2012. My political beliefs are somewhat weird. I think it's a very interesting look at the politics. It kind of makes up for the weakness. And the movie, for as bad as it is, kind of loops back on so bad it's good territory for the majority of the film. I was laughing out loud in the theater, and that made the movie kind of fun for me. It's like, I think when I saw it, because I saw it, I waited in line 3 hours to see it opening day. So I waited 3 hours, and I kind of didn't love the movie. I thought it was okay at the time. Then on a second watching later, as a college student, I hated it. And then now I kind of enjoy it again. So it's kind of a cyclical movie with me. But I definitely don't think it deserves worst movie of all time status, which I think a lot of nerds really want to put it there. It's not even the weakest movie in the series. That'd probably be the second one. So, that's my defense of The Phantom Menace. I don't think it's a great film. I don't even necessarily think everybody should watch it, but I think there are redeemable aspects to it, and I think that it doesn't deserve all the complete, vitriol it gets from especially from the geek community.
Well, a lot of that vitriol is geeks feel betrayed by that movie. When I first saw it in theaters, I'm like, meh. I didn't hate it. Didn't really like it, though, but I didn't hate it. There were a bunch of kids in that audience that loved it, because it was like a Saturday matinee that I went to. But aside from Jar Jar, I didn't mind it. I kind of liked some of the elements of it. I didn't like Jake Lloyd, but even Jake Lloyd hates Jake Lloyd in that movie. Don't try to talk to that guy at a con about it. He'll punch you.
Okay, I'm not as forgiving as Jowski. I really, really hated The Phantom Menace. I even hated that they were even doing prequels. I mean, I was fine with the original trilogy. So fine was I that I defended Lucas in 97 with the reissues of New Hope, Empire, and Jedi. I defended Lucas. Everybody was just screaming for his head when he changed it so Greedo shot first. And I didn't agree with Greedo shooting first, but I defended him. I said, you know what? It's his movie. It's his vision. It's his characters. They still belong to him. You can't, don't act like he doesn't have any claim to him anymore. He does. He can do it if he wants to. I took shit about that for over 2 years. Then in 99, when Columbine was the second worst tragedy to happen to this country, went and saw The Phantom Menace opening day. I was just, I don't know. I felt like he was trying to whitewash it into a dumbed down generation. Like I probably read too deep into it, and this was years before I started smoking pot. I mean, Jar Jar is a clown shoe. He's worse than just lame. He is so much worse than lame. He is just there. He is like Wesley Crusher. He's just there to draw in the younger crowd, like under false pretenses. Because
they hated him too.
They did, because he was just that poorly conceived. Like he was conceived for a certain reason, and he failed on all fronts, which just makes him completely beyond redemption. Same thing with Watto. I was going to say, like, Iranian B.O. weird klezmer music coming from the back room, like bodega type guy.
You actually think it's less racist than I do, then, because I think it's a shyster kind of character. I think it's actually a stereotypically
haggling Jew.
Yeah, I think it's an offensive Jewish stereotype, actually. But
they're both horrifying, and none of them need to be there in the movie. It's just ridiculous. They're only there to be cute, and that's what bugged me about the whole concept of there being prequels. I mean, we didn't need them.
Interesting, because if you watch it again, watch how many scenes anybody actually acknowledges who he is or what he does. There's like 3 scenes in the movie where anybody even acknowledges his existence. He does his slapstick BS over and over and over again in the movie, and the other characters ignore him. Even the kids who are making the pod racer ignore him when he gets like his face caught in the electrics and stuff.
It's just ridiculous, though. That further proves my point that he lifts right out. He shouldn't even be there.
He should not even be in. I actually 100% agree with you that he shouldn't be in the movie.
And in terms of the plot, it was a little too much like fucking like C-SPAN with lasers.
That, I like that, though.
Like, really I couldn't get into it. Like, that's not why I want to watch a Star Wars movie. I want to watch a Star Wars movie with conflicting ideologies compromising, debating, and then banding together for the greater good. Like, you know, Han Solo, pretty much an atheist, teams up with Luke Skywalker, a born-again Christian, and they gain a grudging respect for each other. That's what I want in a Star Wars movie. I don't care about trade treaties. Like, I could care less about that.
How stupid is the Jedi Council? This is the kid that will bring balance to the Force. Oh, balance, you say? You mean the fact that there are precisely 2 Sith and there are about 80 billion Jedi? You don't think he might just slaughter you all to bring it down to 2 and 2?
I was
that
just
seems
gonna
like
say,
balance to me.
I was just gonna say, we need more balance.
Yeah, no, they should be the last people thinking about balance. That's bad when you are the majority. You do not want balance, because that means systematic murdering of your entire order.
I know what you mean, Kevin. Modern Republicans.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the politics.
Hap is right, though. I mean, there are very clear applications for American politics, and it is all very, like, right-wing.
Yeah, I mean, you might be... Lucas might have been making a political statement about it. Certainly.
It was, I don't know, it was just pointless and way, way worse than I thought it could be.
I've got a lot of vitriol. Go to Cecil first. So he actually gets a say before I break everyone.
All right, Cecil.
I was one of the people that was there opening night to see it. There were a lot of people in costume. A lot of people were really excited. And I enjoyed it. I went in expecting, like, you know, being growing up with Star Wars and everything, I was expecting it to be just the greatest thing ever. And I left. I didn't hate it. I liked it. You know, even with its flaws, like Jar Jar and the midichlorians, which you'll note that they dropped immediately and never mentioned again for the other 2 movies.
The damage was done.
The damage was done.
They get a biotech explanation of a magical phenomenon. It's pretty stupid.
There's still people that argue midichlorians on, like, YouTube and whatnot. Anakin had a higher midichlorian count, and it's just like, don't talk about that.
And the Force? Well, that's just microscopic bacteria in your bloodstream called midichlorians.
Look, if you're not going to take this seriously, I'm out.
The prequel trilogy was kind of going along, and they were out, and they made their billions of dollars in marketing and merchandising, rather. And I even went to, like, the midnight launch at Toys R Us to get, like, the action figures and whatnot. Honestly, they kind of came and went, they made their money, and they just kind of were. And it wasn't really until the whole Red Letter Media thing came along, where they just completely shredded the movies, that all of a sudden there were people who just had liked the movie previously were now, oh, well, this is what's wrong, and this is what's wrong. And not to say that there weren't people that disliked it before, but they really brought it to the forefront and made people talk about it more and despise it more, instead of just kind of like, it was cool and I enjoyed it, let it go. But then they were really picking it apart and just, they called him Annie and this was awful and icky icky goo. And again, not defending those things, but for me, I didn't really hear as much complaining until after those videos came out. I like it. I have them all on DVD and I've watched them a few times, and but they're not anywhere near as good as the original trilogy.
Okay, Star Wars had been going downhill even before, as Charlie mentioned, the 1997 re-rapes, re-edits. They had been going downhill ever since then, because George Lucas had been lying to us as fans for a long time prior to that. Do you remember the marketing campaign, Charlie, for those 97 re-releases?
So much Taco Bell.
No, well, there was that. But also, these are theatrical only. See the movies now, or you're going to miss
them.
Oh,
yeah.
These will never be put on home video. You have to see it now, or you miss them. So then 6 months later, hey, you can buy all the special editions on home video. That's the moment.
Never
notice George Lucas cared more about money than anything else. That this was all about how he could print money, and you people, and I'm saying that to all you Star Wars fans, would just let him get away with it. And you were afraid to criticize your little fake deity that you made in George Lucas. And The Phantom Menace exemplifies that perfectly. People,
what do you mean, you people?
Quiet, you. The Phantom Menace is a perfect example of that. People walked out of that disappointed, but still, like Cecil pointed out, no one really wanted to raise their voice against it. Even the reviews in the mainstream press were like, it wasn't very good, but that was about it. And I'm sorry, I saw this movie first run in 99 as well. I hated it. I almost walked out. After Jar Jar stepping in Pooey and zapping his tongue, I almost left the theater like, no, I'm not fucking doing this. You have turned Star Wars into a living cartoon that it stopped being about storytelling and completely became a kids show. George Lucas himself even said, I made The Phantom Menace for kids. I don't know any fucking kids that love to watch fucking Meet the Press.
This is a good point, because the things I like about it are things that kids would hate about the movie. Because the things I liked about it are boring adult political intrigue. Nobody under about 25 cares about that.
This was the second in the steps of George Lucas telling his fans, don't worry, if you remember to breathe, it won't be sore tomorrow. And then him sticking his dick in your ass while he's stealing from your wallet. And all of you were going, oh, George, it doesn't hurt that bad. I can take another inch.
Greedo came first.
Which rock bottom movie was that, Charlie?
That was Rock Bottom Volume 14, Greedo Came First.
So I'm sorry, I despise this film. Despise it. And as bad as the next two were, at least they weren't this bad. At least I can't even say that they tried, because they didn't, but they didn't not try as much. Does that make sense?
It does not, but I appreciate it.
The thing is, you seem to hate it purely because you think George Lucas is a shill, which he is, but that doesn't affect the actual content of the film. You've projected your hatred of what George Lucas became onto a mediocre film to make it an awful film, which is not exactly what it is.
I think it does reflect on the film, though. I think it's a mediocre film because George Lucas did a mediocre job because he didn't care.
Just because you don't like the person doesn't make mediocre film an awful film.
Kevin, it kind of comes down to, and I've said this before, watch the documentary on the DVDs and stuff. You look at all the people during the production of Phantom Menace. George is coming up with these horribly stupid ideas, and they have deified him to the point where they actually look scared, and they almost do that Warner Brothers cartoon eye shift thing at one another, like, you gonna tell him this is dumb? Nuh-uh, I need my job. You tell him it's dumb. Nuh-uh. And everyone's terrified to tell him, George, this is fucking stupid.
Everybody pretending like they can't see the Emperor's dick.
Look, there are bad things in this movie, but I don't think it's as awful as you make it out to be. And I think it's like with the Joss Whedon thing. You hate the fanboys and you hate the person, so you project it onto the movie itself, which may or may not be as bad as you think it is.
Not necessarily, because I can still
it would be
enjoy something like THX 1138 quite a bit.
It'd be like me, okay, say if I didn't like the Smiths as much as I did, or I didn't like Morrissey, saying I think the Smiths are a mediocre band, which is not true, they're actually my favorite band, I'm just going to preface that now. But say if I thought the Smiths were a mediocre band on an objective level, but I hated Morrissey because he's a douchebag, which is actually true, I think he's a douche. And then saying the Smiths are awful because Morrissey's a douchebag, it's not true. Just because there's an objective view of a movie, and then there's projecting a hatred of an individual artist onto that film.
I didn't hate George Lucas at the time.
But I'm also...
I really liked Lucas. I thought it was an awful...
argument is, I saw, he's like, I saw George Lucas decaying into a corporate whore during the re-releases in the 90s because he said this, and it just became more downhill. And he's taking, I think he's projecting a hatred of George Lucas, which I think he became way too involved in the money. I agree with you on that. But I think that projection onto the film itself, I think that's a problem with a lot of people with Star Wars, especially today. They think of, they don't like George Lucas and what he became. And they take a look at a movie like The Phantom Menace and go, this movie is the bottom of the barrel of filmmaking because Lucas is an ass, when it's really just a mediocre average film, which is what it is.
But see, Kevin, I'm one of those people, and I believe this should be the philosophy that most people share, but they don't. You cannot separate the art from the artist. Like, as much as I love Suicidal Tendencies music, Mike Muir is one of the biggest egotistical ass bags out there. And that taints how I hear their music. Even tangentially, I just... Quiet you. I cannot separate the art from the artist. I think most people do that when they shouldn't. People give Victor Silva a pass on the Jeepers Creepers movies when they completely forget that he anally violated a 13-year-old boy for 5 months straight while making Clown House. That, to me...
Hey!
What?
Jeepers Creepers 1 was good, and he didn't make that. Jeepers Creepers 2 sucks.
Fuck you.
There's a degree, though.
Woody Allen won Oscars after marrying his daughter?
Morrissey's a great example of this, because I do separate the art from the artist. I actually really like Johnny Marr, the Smiths guitar player, so it's a little bit different. But Morrissey is a grade-A douchebag. But I love the Smiths. I love his solo work. I think he's a great musician and a great singer. So I can appreciate his music without appreciating the artist as a person. It's like I can appreciate someone's baseball talent even when they're a horrible person. Ty Cobb was a phenomenal baseball player. He was also a racist asshole. So but at a certain point, like Polanski, I can't watch Roman Polanski movies because sometimes you cross the line into something so vile and there's just a degree. It's just, I won't watch it. I can't judge. I just won't watch Roman Polanski movies because I can't watch Roman Polanski.
Sometimes you cross the line into another country to avoid extradition.
Right, exactly. But if I watched one and didn't know, I couldn't just judge it. Like, Roman Polanski is a heinous human being that affects the quality of the art. That's not how it works. There's a lot of artists in the history of art that have been horrible, horrible, horrible human beings that have produced phenomenal artwork, phenomenal movies, phenomenal music. And I don't think it's fair to necessarily judge the art itself by the quality of the person producing it.
Kevin, you're my friend. I think you are completely wrong on this. You think I am completely wrong. We just have to leave that at that.
We're cool. We had disagreed on hardware last week, so... Okay, so next movie on the list, Super Mario Brothers, 1993, which I will try to be brief on this one. I actually rewatched this one just to make sure my feelings for it were still the same, and they are. This is a goofy, horrible video game adaptation that is actually a lot of fun to watch and has interesting, like, dystopian cyberpunk kind of vibes to it that I don't really feel it gets the credit it deserves. If you try to view it as a Super Mario Brothers, which Super Mario Brothers as a series is completely unfilmable, it's a bad acid trip. The movie itself tries to take what they have with it, and it turns out okay. Plus, Dennis Hopper is awesome, and Bob Hoskins is awesome in it. I'm not going to talk about John Leguizamo, who I think is actually pretty terrible in this movie, but that's my opinion.
Samantha Mathis and Lance really Henriksen?
Samantha Mathis. Sorry, I had a huge crush on her at 10 years old. And I just found out she did the voice of Krista on Ferngully, who I also had a crush on. So Samantha Mathis, my 10-year-old crush. And Lance Henriksen is in the movie for 2 minutes, but it's still cool because it's Lance Henriksen. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I love this movie. I think it's a lot of fun, and I don't understand why people hate it as much as they do. Jowska, you get going.
All right. So with Super Mario Brothers, when I first heard of that movie, it was in an issue of Nintendo Power. Well, several issues. They were every bit excited for it. And it got me excited. I watched it in theaters, and I was 13, so I liked it because I was 13, and I was eager for that sequel. And I've been waiting 20 years for that sequel. I enjoyed it when I was a kid, and looking back on it as an adult, Dennis Hopper, yeah, he's no Frank from Blue Velvet in this movie, but he's still having fun.
Yeah, and Bob Hoskins is having fun. He didn't like the movie, but he had fun.
You know, he's got some good moments with the monkey.
Monkey!
Yeah, it's interesting because that's one of the things I like about Dennis Hopper. No matter how bad he thinks the movie is, he always looks like he's having fun in the movie.
Waterworld.
And I'll agree.
Yeah, Waterworld. Exactly.
That girl who played Daisy was gorgeous, I had a crush on her. Had a crush on her, and I hated John Leguizamo in that movie.
So basically, you're in agreement with me.
Yes, I'm in agreement. The Goombas, I did not like. I did not like the Goombas at all, but I did like their take on Yoshi, where he was just an actual just baby dinosaur.
Pet dinosaur.
Yeah.
Side note, my friend and business partner, Hank Carlson, actually built those Yoshis for this movie.
They're pretty awesome. Good animatronics. And that's another thing. The movie actually looks pretty good, even today, 20 years later. I just watched it yesterday.
Had a really, really big budget.
I thought Yoshi was awesome looking. Like, I really liked all the animatronics in the movie. But I think it was just a cheap, just piggybacking on Jurassic Park kind of tactic. Like, I think the whole movie took on that aesthetic just to try to capitalize on Jurassic Park. I think it could have been a good movie, and I think it could have been a better movie with a smaller budget. But I can't stand to watch it now. It's just so stupid. I mean, it's just ill-conceived. I mean, this
fun, though, Charlie.
I try to have fun with it, but it's like, it's not a joke that you get to feel like you're in on. It's like a joke your nephew tells you because he heard a joke on TV and he's passing it off as his own. Not everybody grows out of that, by the way. But I just did not like it. I mean, I thought Bob Hoskins was overqualified. I don't know why they cast him in it.
Hey, Bob Hoskins thinks
most of the
too.
Cast is overqualified.
But Bob Hoskins agrees with you, Charlie. He was asked what is the one regret he had in his entire filmography. He took about a 3-second break and went Super Mario Brothers.
And then Dennis Hopper on the other side of the world was probably saying the exact same thing. I don't know. I mean, I was a huge fan of the game when that movie came out. Loved the game. And the movie just did not grab me the way I felt that it should have. You know what I mean?
How could you have filmed the actual Super Mario Brothers story? Tell me how you could do that without it being a bad acid trip movie.
Wouldn't it need a...
I'm not saying there's a way to do it where it wouldn't come out, like, ridiculous. But it can be ridiculous and good. It could be ridiculous if they hadn't just wasted all of that budget on such a stupid movie. I mean, it was insulting from that perspective. And I don't know, it's just really, really quite bad.
It would have been better darker, actually, in my opinion.
I agree with that. That would have been awesome.
Because there are elements to this movie that are pretty dark, and there is some, like half-naked women in this, lots of close-ups of cleavage.
If they took a reverse approach, if all these monsters from Mario's world came up into Earth, and that's where the movie took place, and they were actual plumbers...
I like the cyberpunk dystopian future they present. I think it's interesting and creates an interesting world. Like I said, it's a terrible video game adaptation. But yeah. If you're going to take the money to do it and slap your name on it, might as well try to do something interesting with it, which I feel like they tried. Sometimes they hit, sometimes they miss, but at least I thought it was a fun and interesting movie.
There already is an incredibly deep story in the video games that you could have brought out. What if Mario bought a hotel and had to close all the doors?
He weren't born in a barn.
He weren't born? Really?
He weren't born in a barn, that's right. No, I mean, I didn't like it. I thought it was poorly done. It was ill-conceived right from Jump Street.
Because you asked early on, Kevin, why people hate this movie so much. It's the title. It's the title and the names of the characters. That's why people hate this movie. It's not a
just
bad
like
film.
Do, in my opinion.
I don't think it's a great film, but I do not think it's a bad film. Personally, by the fact that it's directed by the creators of Max Headroom, one of my all-time favorite TV shows, that explains where all the cyberpunk dystopia comes from, and all the in-jokes and the shots at mass media. But I do agree that this is an incredibly misguided movie, and the script should have been used on a standalone film and not Super Mario Brothers. That's all I got to say about this one.
Can't argue with you on that. I agree with you. It's the same thing with Blair Witch 2. Sometimes you name a movie poorly just because the studios want you to capitalize on something when you could have used the subject matter for something independent and been far better received.
shameless plug, but a few years ago, I did a episode dedicated to Super Mario Brothers. And while I think the editing and whatnot needs a lot of work because I was still kind of getting my stuff together, you know, the pacing and everything on the episode is kind of crappy, but the content is sound. I mean, I researched this thing for months. I love the movie. I think that much like, you know, the rest of you have said, if it was something else entirely, if it wasn't named Super Mario Brothers, it wouldn't be getting this much hatred. It's a movie that if they followed the video game, wouldn't have made sense. It would have been goofy and it probably would have been crappy and forgotten. Whereas this, it's so unusual with the whole cyberpunk angle. Another thing to add on to the Max Headroom thing was that the art director that they hired was David L. Snyder, who was the art director for Blade Runner. So he had a lot to do with kind of making it have a very Blade Runner look to it. The movie, it is weird. Oh, you were also saying about how the tone of it, how it was kind of like it was dark, but then it wasn't.
Right.
The directors were constantly fighting with the studio because they wanted it to be darker. They wanted to be kind of more like Max Headroom. And the studio kept pushing back and being like, you know, no, this has to be a kids movie. So that's why it's really weird how they'll have like these really goofy comedic moments, but then there's strippers and there's right. dominatrixes and just really odd choices. So it's one of those things where had they have gone as far as they would, it probably would have gone more into like the darker regions of like PG-13, not R, because it would never have been able to get to an R. But I mean, Nintendo wouldn't have let that happen, but it could have gotten a PG-13. I just think that the content in it was so cool. It was just unique. It was different. It was enjoyable. It had really solid actors in it who some of them stopped caring because they were rewriting the script on a daily basis. I still love it. I think it's at the end of the day, I think somehow with all the problems and everything it went through, it still ended up being good.
All righty. Well, sounds like with the exception of Charlie, most of us don't have any particular hatred towards this movie.
I regret nothing.
So Charlie gets to be the cynical hipster in this particular segment. All right. Fair enough.
Deal with it, world.
You have made an enemy for life, McMullen.
All right, so next on my list, I'll try to be brief on my explanation of this one too. Manos, the Hands of Fate, which when I was first introduced to this film through Mystery Science Theater, like 99% of the people who have seen this movie, I thought it was awful. I've actually watched that episode probably 30 times and realized it's not quite as bad as everyone makes it out to be. It was made by somebody who wasn't a film director on a horrible piece of equipment with extremely limited time and budget. And somehow it turns out to be a movie, which is shocking to me. It also has somewhat memorable characters, at least from a villain perspective. Even like the Master is pretty interesting. And then Torgo is awesome. That's a great character. Maybe not intentionally great, but funny and memorable. I don't know. It's a pretty good performance. And that guy basically died for that movie. So I have an appreciation for Manos. Again, not a good movie. Technically incompetent, kind of ugly. But at least they try. For someone who is a complete amateur, it came out okay. I've seen, man, some of the stuff Jowski's reviewed by guys who have had way more experience, 100,000 times worse than Manos. Again, some of the Emmanuel movies I watched in the last week are worse than Manos. Guys who are professional directors with a higher budget. So I think Manos fits into that category. This is, it's still a bad movie. Worst of all time. It was on Internet Movie Database is number one worst of all time forever. I don't know if it still is or not. It's not the worst movie of all time. Not even close. And that's my argument for Manos. Jowski.
I really enjoy watching Manos, and not in an ironic, so bad it's good way, because you can appreciate filmmaking as it's done by a guy that knew nothing about filmmaking and was learning it as he went along. You can see all the problems he had and how he chose to direct them. So you can really appreciate the effort, you know, those kids that are in the car the whole movie. That's because they were written into a bunch of scenes, but the actor broke his leg. So what are they going to do? You know, he learned about why kids are poisoned, because that little girl.
I have a beautiful pun. He broke his leg. You know what they could have done? Recast.
And there's one one shot in that movie where it's the little girl sitting on the couch wrestling this dog that wants to get away from her. And that pretty much sums up the whole movie. It's like they're trying.
The movie is the dog.
Yes. And it is one of my favorite MSTs as well. And the guy that does Torgo, he had a passion for being Torgo. And yes, you're right. It killed him because the things, the prosthetics he stuck in his legs gave him permanent back injury. That's why he eventually committed suicide, which is horribly tragic.
I don't think Manos is the worst movie of all time. I mean, I think for a movie to be the worst movie of all time, it can't just be a poorly made movie. It has to actually have like a hateful intent behind it. So I don't think Manos is that bad. I don't think it's good. Like, I'm not able to enjoy it even in a so bad it's good way, because I mean, it is just lackluster filmmaking, and it's people that don't really try to make something compelling. They just think if I do these things that I saw other people do, it just becomes compelling, and I don't really appreciate that.
Non-actors and non-director. I'm just.
That's true. I mean, if I died after being operated on by a non-doctor, I'd still be dead. You know what I'm saying?
So of course, but you have to remember, it's not like what was my point? I don't know if you could hold them to the same. It's like somebody make a fan film. It's like if I walked outside my apartment right now and decided to shoot a movie, and somehow I'm the worst filmmaker of all time. Well, I'm not even a filmmaker. I've made a movie for fun, and that's basically what this dude did.
Well, I think there's a learning curve, but I think you should be held to the same standards. If something's a movie, then people should try to make it well, and if they don't make it well, then...
God, you imagine? I mean, do you think... Honestly, okay, take like Scorsese. Do you think his first, like, random, like as a teenager or like a kid, like his first film he made, do you think it was good?
No. I forget.
And no one ever judges him for that.
It was Mean Streets.
Okay, look at.
No, I mean, I'm not talking about published film. I'm just talking about first film, because that's what this guy's was. He just happened to show it in a theater in Texas for like five people.
Kevin,
I understand if
you've made a movie that makes James Rolfe look like a talented director, you have screwed up.
At least he has some experience with camera and something. This guy was a salesman. He just like, I feel like making a movie. I've got this idea in my head and I just want to try it.
But
that's my thing with Manos.
But he doesn't
like,
understand.
By hating on Manos so much, you're hating on all amateur filmmakers. That's what I'm saying.
That's not true. I am not hating on all amateur filmmakers. Look at Clerks. Looks like crap. Awesome movie because of its intelligence and its dialogue and its story,
in that case,
things like that.
Charlie,
those are things
case,
that don't...
The style plays to Clerk's strengths. The style gives it an almost documentary-like feel, like Night of the Living Dead does.
Well, it looks... Right, well, Clerks looks like it was shot on security cameras, which works for the movies.
Yeah, and Manos could have done that. Manos could have been shot like the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre was, and it would have been awesome. Like, it would have been better. I just think...
At least Kevin Smith, dropout though he may be, went to film school. He knew the basics of filmmaking. This guy didn't know anything. He just wanted to make a movie.
I mean, he learned what some professor's opinion was on Silence of the Lambs. Like, he didn't learn anything. And it's not... You don't even need to learn anything to make a good movie. Yeah. I mean, it looks like he didn't bother to find things out that he didn't know.
To be fair, Kevin Smith's movies still kind of look like he doesn't know anything, but they're still fun because he's a really good writer.
That's what I'm saying. And writing is not expensive. You can write for free.
That's true. So what you're saying is, if you don't have any talent, get the fuck out. You don't need to direct. Is that what you're saying?
That's kind of what I'm saying. Yes.
That's bullshit, and I disagree with you. I think everyone has the right to try.
As I said once about Manos,
you're giving participation ribbons to everybody, Kevin.
Manos, the hands of
fate. I want to encourage people to experiment with art. Yes, that's what
I
want to encourage.
Yes, I encourage that too. I think people should experiment with art. I'm just saying, don't. Treat it like a movie if it's not
seen by five people, mostly the cast, and just happened to end up in the cult. That's what happened with this movie. This guy never had any success.
But the movie had success. Right.
Yeah, more people have seen your short films than initially saw Manos.
That doesn't make me any good, and it doesn't make him any good. It doesn't matter how many people see
it. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying for you to hate on it and to discourage so vehemently the production of independent art is shocking coming from you.
Okay, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not condemning the pursuit of independent art. I will always champion the pursuit of independent art. What I'm saying is if it's a poorly made product, it looks like a poorly made product. There's no way around it. It's not the worst movie ever made. Judging it by the same standards I judge every movie, there are far worse movies than Manos. Like, I will get that. I'm not completely... A talking cat.
Perfect.
A talking cat? Yes, that's a worse movie than Manos. And it's a better made movie than Manos, but it's a worse movie by far. I'm saying that, I don't know, I can't enjoy it if it's poorly made. And not even just that it's poorly made, it's just that nobody even like knew what to do to help it.
But see, okay, I'm going to help defend Charlie, because I think he's right. I agree with him that if you have no idea how to build a nuclear reactor, should you just go, well, I've got tools, I've got plutonium,
no,
let's just put it together and see what happens.
That's a horrible argument, because it's not even remotely the same thing. Making a movie that's not technically competent doesn't cost people lives.
But it's not even technical competence.
What the fuck are you talking about? There's like salt around it!
Yeah, it's not the technical competence I'm talking about. It's his absolute lack of caring, it seems like. The movie is a textbook example of everything you don't do if you're trying to make a good movie. I don't care what roadblocks he ran into. He seemed to just go, it's a movie, just deal with it. Instead of going,
right,
how can I make this a good
movie? Because he didn't know any better, so it came out like crap. Maybe if he'd made another one, if it wasn't hated so much, maybe he would have learned from that experience. Maybe he would have done better the second time.
To me, Manos commits the ultimate sin of a movie. It's fucking boring.
It's short, though. It's like 68 minutes.
But I cannot argue for...
And I've seen more boring movies this week. This is my issue.
Okay, I don't like the movie. I don't hate it, but I don't agree with you elevating it, because I think this is a really great example of a really shittily made movie that's been elevated higher than it has a right to be.
That's kind of what I was saying.
So you can skip me now, because I kind of agree with Charlie.
All right.
Okay, you're both wrong, Cecil?
I've seen it, again, numerous times as the Mystery Science Theater episode, right, which is one of the best. It's freaking hilarious. And maybe a year ago or so, there was somebody who got the film canisters from it and actually started working on a high definition remastering of the film. And so, like, I donated towards that to see, you know, this, because apparently the version that we got was it was a really bad print, and it's muddy, and it's got a lot of artifacts. And so this was going to be cleaned up. Is it going to make it a better movie? No, but it would be kind of interesting to see, and it's going to get a release on Blu-ray.
Oh my God.
I donated to that same project.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. They just announced like a week ago that Synapse was going to put it out. They got, I mean, it's going to have commentary from Jackie Naiman, who was Debbie, the daughter, and her father was the master, and he's actually still alive. And I got an autograph from both of them that they had at their premiere, where it was a picture of them and the brides and everything. It's just, I don't know, something like that for me is cool to have. But anyway, onto the movie itself. It is tough to watch without the Mystery Science Theater angle. It's not the worst movie I've seen. I just saw a way worse movie that had a much bigger budget the other week, Spring Breakers, which I absolutely positively hated. And I can't believe it, because I was expecting to love that movie, but regardless, it was okay. It was slow. I've tried to watch it without the Mystery Science Theater just to see, is it really that bad? And yeah, it does kind of take like a long time to get into it. I only watched maybe a half hour of it. A movie that was way worse, Sideways, which is one of my worst movies ever. I hated that movie with a passion.
Paul Giamatti, Sideways?
Yeah, and I like Giamatti a lot, but boo, that movie. But that's that's a whole other argument. It's okay. I mean, I don't hate it. I think partially, though, too, a lot of my like just not really going all in and saying I don't like it is because the Mystery Science Theater episode is so funny, and it's such a bad movie that it makes for a really funny riff on it. So I've seen a lot worse.
Okay, so one more movie. This one I think we're all in agreement on, I'm not 100% certain, is Hudson Hawk, which I watched again with trepidation because I wasn't sure if I liked it as a kid and wouldn't like it now. No, this is still one of the most fun movies I have watched in ages. It's funny. It's interesting banter. I love buddy movies in general, so this works for me. So just characters way over the top acting from the villains. It's actually pretty nicely shot, though some of the blue screen effects are not great, but I'll let that have a pass given its age. Somewhat of an interesting story. I like the storytelling, like framing device and the running joke of the cappuccino and stuff. I love this movie, and this is the only one on the list I will say I actually really, really, really like. And that'll be about it. Jowski.
I really have always loved Hudson Hawk and never understood why people hated it. I watched it when it first hit Showtime after its theatrical run, and it got me wanting to drink cappuccinos because Hudson Hawk liked cappuccinos and Hudson Hawk was
Maggie
awesome.
Maggie coffees.
Yeah, whatever.
Lattes are awesome. Shut your mouth, Hadley.
That's and what they call it in the movie, faggy coffee.
That's true.
Unmasculine. They called it unmasculine European coffee. They didn't call it faggy.
Yeah, Hadley was paraphrasing, but still. That was implied, especially considering he just got out of prison.
But I was going to say, I even played the Nintendo game and enjoyed it. That's how into Hudson Hawk I was.
I've never played that game. I've heard it's awful, though.
Oh, it is. In retrospect, pretty bad. And I think that's the problem, is that people didn't expect it to be a comedy.
That probably was one of the issues, certainly. It is a comedy. It's a little bit of a dark comedy, but it is a comedy. All right, Charlie, any way you're going to bash this one, too?
No way in hell. I love Hudson Hawk. I just like Jowski, like, I have deep roots in Hudson Hawk fandom. Like, I saw it when it was in the theater. This was, like, 91? So I must have been, like, 91. Yeah, 91. I must have been 11 years old. I remember seeing it with my mom. It was just awesome. I loved everything about it. There was nothing really like that at the time. Like, it was an action movie, yeah, so it pulled in the action crowd, but then it drops like all kinds of weird surrealism on you, like George Coburn, like vaulting in a kung fu flying kick off a tower, like from just out of nowhere. Like, he gave no indication throughout the whole movie that he even studied karate. And then all of a sudden he's a kung fu master.
We blow up Bruce space Willis, shuttles like, for breakfast. James Coburn, Coburn. Not Joe. You said Joe Coburn.
Joe Coburn. My bad. It was James. One of my favorite James Coburn performances. Yeah, David Caruso as Kit Kat, who for no reason at all is mute and communicates with some very intricately planned business cards.
Yep.
It was just
and then
really a cool movie.
Come on, Butterfingers. You want me to go up and rape
and
them?
They just kind of ignore it. And
this is France. You don't got no French fries? Actually, it's Italy. And yeah, I really like it, man. I mean, Bruce Willis was that's his perfect role. Like, that's his perfect character. It's like John McClane with even more of a sense of humor mixed with David Addison. And I loved the completely pointless set piece of doing robberies to certain songs that he knows the length of. That serves
so
no
he knows how long he
needs,
and so he sings the song to know how much time he has. Yeah,
I know. I mean, you could easily use a stopwatch. But it was great. Like, the way they shot that robbery in the museum when they were stealing the Da Vinci horse. That's one of my favorite scenes in any movie. I mean, I really like Hudson Hawk. Been a huge fan for years. I played the Nintendo game, too. It was awful, but I loved it.
All right, Josh. If anybody can hate a movie like this, it would be you.
There's one thing I hate about this movie. Otherwise, I absolutely love it, and that's Sandra Bernhard. I just do not care for her whatsoever as an actress. This movie does not help.
Helps so much. Like, I hate Sandra Bernhard as an actress, but Minerva Mayflower was her perfect character.
Yeah, I kind of like the character. I'm okay with it in the character. I kind of get where you're coming from, though, John.
I was 16 years old when this came out in 91, and I saw it 7 times in 1 week. Of course, that might have been the fact.
Awesome, John.
That might have been the fact that it came out in the summer, and there was no school, and I didn't have air conditioning, and the theater was air conditioned. But that's not the point. I still saw it and loved it. My friends that I went with and I were the only ones in the theater, and the clerk, after like the fourth day, was like, "You again? Yeah, us again." We're going to see Hudson Hawk.
You
leave us alone.
Saved the money. You almost saved the movie, Josh, with your contributions.
I thought you were going to say something along the lines of your parents left you at the theater and you didn't know what to do, so you just stayed there until they came to pick you up a week later. Yeah. You were like Tom Hanks in The Terminal.
Yeah, Josh, you and your friend probably account for like a quarter of that movie's box office receipt.
Perhaps. I think the movie is genuinely funny. There's a couple of groan-worthy one-liners that it turns out were ad-libs by Bruce Willis, which shows he probably shouldn't be ad-libbing. Such as after the butler gets his head cut off, guess he won't be attending that big hat convention in June.
It still made me laugh. I still thought it was funny. It is.
But it's not funny the way it was meant to be, Kevin. I think the performances across the board, Sandra Bernhardt otherwise, are really good. It's got that weird offbeat humor, like when that one dumb mobster gets his face with all the needles and just comes up and screams. I just laugh my ass off at that, or just the way, kind of like Kevin, how you pointed out in the Michael Bay episode, there's no regard for human life. Just how wantonly they kill motherfuckers in this. I don't understand the hate at it. I think part of the fact that it is a Hollywood vanity project tainted it, even tangentially, right from the start.
I'm in agreement. Love the movie. It's absolutely just a blast to watch. It's so fun. It's genuinely funny. You can tell that everyone is having a really good time.
Yep.
And it just, vanity project or not, it's just, they're all really enjoying themselves. And it's infectious. It makes you enjoy the movie more. It's so ridiculous with like how there's elements like almost like Looney Tunes where he's getting hit and he's getting knocked over and knocked back up and knocked over and they stop hitting him and he keeps going over.
Yeah.
Like, hey, my hat.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Exactly.
It's so funny. It's just it's a really good time. And the bummer, the thing that always bummed me out about it, Bruce Willis, like this is his movie where he's like, oh, I hate that movie. I don't like that movie. You know, and it's like, why? Like, you've done some crap, dude. Like, don't try to make, like, Hudson Hawk is this bad movie. Like, if you're ashamed of that but not the whole 10 yards, then...
Blind Date?
You are just... you are just off base.
Disney's the Kid.
Oh, boy.
North?
Boo.
North is bad. Sixth Sense, I like, okay.
Sixth Sense is...
For some reason, I find Annie McDowell really attractive in this movie, and I don't normally. I don't know what it is about. Maybe it's because she's a nun. I don't know.
It's the attitude.
I was going to say, it's the whole Vatican angle.
All right. Well, I'm done. Everyone else? Anybody else got some last thoughts?
I feel unburdened. Like, I got to say stuff about The Phantom Menace that I hadn't even thought about for like a decade. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode. I learned a lot. I think we all sort of cleared the air on some of these movies. This is probably the lowest amount of actual championing that's been done so far, but I think Kevin did turn some people around tonight. So come back next week. We will round out this series with the four movies of Cecil Trachtenberg that he will be presenting before the prosecution. Stay tuned for the Projection Booth with Mike White. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time.
Catch Charlie McMullen in Rock Bottom 38.